thank you all for being here on that one, and we will send out information on 2271. Is that correct, then, Victoria?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll be contacting about that. All right, so that'll move us to the next two-pack, which is also Dr. Jane's, 2263 and 2264. If you can give us a summary on 2263, please, Tracy?
Yes, so the summary is the same on both of these cases. So case 2263, the complainant is Patricia Carter, and the respondent is Elena Carter, DVM. And in my case 2264, the respondent is Shauna Wood, DVM, and the complainant is Patricia Carter. On August 18th, 2021, Taxi, an 11-year-old appendix gelding, was evaluated by Dr. Wood, which was facilitated by caretaker Ms. Vernon. The horse was sedated, and an ultrasound was performed of the right hind limb. Based on this evaluation, Dr. Wood felt the horse would not be a good barrel race horse. Complainant wanted to seek a second opinion and requested a copy of the medical records and ultrasound images. Once received, complainant was concerned that the records were inaccurate and had omissions. Dr. Carter discussed complainant's concerns with her and made amendments to the medical records to reflect accurate information. And the committee concluded in case 2263 that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board find ARS 3222-3218 as it relates to AAC R311-5019 for altering the animal's medical record regarding the treatment that was provided. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0. And in case 2264 regarding Dr. Wood, the committee concluded that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board find ARS 3222-3211 gross incompetence for failure to perform a thorough examination of the horse, and ARS 3222-3221 as it relates to R311-502-L7 for failure to document in the animal's medical record the sedation that was administered to the horse. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
All right, thank you. And for 2263, we have no complaint nor respondent. And in 2264, we do have counsel here, correct? Charlie Hofer?
Yes, good morning. Okay. Charlie Hofer.
All right, if you could come forward, we can give you 5 minutes to address the board. And, all right. Yeah, I guess we can do 2264 first then. Or just address it and we'll talk about everything. Yeah, sorry. So you can just, so if you could identify yourself for the record, please,
sure.
And then we'll give you 5 minutes to discuss.
Thank you. Charles Hofer on behalf of the respondent, Dr. Wood. The a lot to unpack in the complaint as it was presented to the investigative committee. I think they did a very good job in narrowing in on the pertinent issues, that being the nature and extent of the exam and the record keeping. We are in full agreement that the record keeping was not appropriate and would gladly enter into a consent agreement for education on that aspect of it. I would like to push back a little bit, though, on the determination or the recommendation by the committee that the exam falls under this board's gross incompetence provisions. I know you have seen the response by Dr. Wood, but I'd like to just highlight quickly, if I could, the nature and extent of that examination, and then ask, is that truly gross negligence, or are there bits and pieces perhaps that could have been done, should have been done, but and then I at the end will suggest that I don't think this rises to a violation, but it certainly might be subject to a letter of concern from this board. As Dr. Wood had explained to the board, she was called out because the horse was resistant to turning to the left. She began her exam with a basic TPR. She palpated the horse's entire body, did not induce any sensitivity to palpation in the front end. When flexing and extending both stifles, he was resistant. She looked at his stance, noticed that his right hind limb was slightly abducted at the stifle. The left side of the pelvis had good range of motion. The right side was limited and minimal. She discovered a scarring over the superficial and deep digital flexor tendons midway between the hock and the fetlock. She palpated the scar and noticed that there was withdrawal of the limb. She lunged the horse in both directions at a trot, noticed short striding in the both left and right hind limbs. She discussed this with Dr. Carner and with the horse's trainer and obtained an ultrasound of the right hind superficial and deep digital flexor. She found there was scarring between the superficial and deep digital flexor. She attempted even further, more ultrasound, but the horse was not cooperative. She then consulted with the owner of the horse, told her what she had done, and the nature and extent of the examination that she went through. She explained what she found. The owner pushed back, said that the horse had been previously ultrasounded, that the scar was from a previous injury and had been looked at by another doctor. Dr. Wood again explained the findings that were made and suggested that there was perhaps further examination that would be required. Again, the owner pushed back and wanted her to have the horse examined by the previous vet. There was no mention of any previous shoeing issues that the vet might want to take into consideration. And as of today, I am not aware of any finding by an independent or second opinion that there was any issue that could have been successfully subject to veterinary intervention. The only explanation is that possibly the horse was incorrectly shod. Given all of that that she had gone through, I really can't say that that was a grossly incompetent examination. Like I say, there may have been bits and pieces that this board would like to see, and she can certainly be admonished of that in a letter of concern. But to move this forward as a disciplinary concern, I think might be not supported by the evidence as at least has been presented to the board to date. So I would ask that the board find that there is no violation on the examination and that there is a violation in record keeping and authorize a consent agreement for education on that. And possibly, if you see fit, to issue a non-disciplinary letter of concern on the examination, or even marry that with non-disciplinary education. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so Dr. James, you are in lead on this, so we will let you start us off. And we'll start with 2263 on a coronary DVM.
Actually, can we take 64 first?
I think so. We can do that, correct? Sure, we'll do it.
64 is actually the one that we were just speaking about. Mm-hmm. So my concern in 2264, I mean, obviously there were some medical records issues. I think there was a lot of concern for me around whether or not the owner had given approval for some of this to be done. I think we worked off of kind of the person presenting the horse, Miss Vernon, but not necessarily having approval from the owner on performing some of these diagnostics. So part of it was medical records, which I think the committee documented as L7, failure to document the sedative. But I still had concern around approvals and approvals for these procedures. As far as the exam, you know, it's a tough one because in my reading on this, like certainly there were things, it was a thorough exam as far as there were a lot of things that were found, there were a lot of things that were notated and things that were done, but it was kind of inconsistent with what they found on the second exam. And it sounded like this doctor was working underneath the guidance of a more senior clinician, and I don't know how much involvement that doctor actually had in the case. So my initial thoughts in reviewing this was to move it to an informal to ask more of these questions. Some of that was explained in the statement, which could change which way we want to go on it. But I do have questions about how this case was handled ultimately, and would be leaning more towards an informal unless anyone had other thoughts.
No, I have some questions. The difficult thing for me is, as you were mentioning initially, with Ms. Vernon being involved there, that Ms. Vernon was hired by the complainant. So you're kind of an extension. You're basically authorized to kind of do everything. So I can't really fault the vet for not calling the owner. I mean, would that have been best practices? I think it probably would have been to speak to the owner directly. But when you have an agent that's been assigned, I also don't think it's wrong to say, okay, well, I'm communicating through you directly. So I think that's putting the vet in a really bad position, because the complainant decided to hire someone separately, not bring that animal in themselves. And when you do that,
these ones get tricky. It's incredibly common in equine medicine. Yeah. It may not be as normal in small animal medicine, but in equine medicine, you're frequently dealing with trainers, you know, farm managers, you know, those types of situations. Mm-hmm. So for her to have had the conversation afterwards could have been extra anyways. Yeah.
Even somebody else brings the dog in.
Yeah, but it, again, it's, I don't know, that didn't seem off to me.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't even have given it a second thought. I'd have talked to that person in front of me the entire time unless I saw something that was unexpected.
Or if they said, I don't know, can you call, you know, somebody else? Because again, if you have an authorized agent, that's who you would be communicating with.
So I do have questions. I don't have questions around the agency thing. Like I said, could communication be better? Yeah, it could always be better. But I don't see any violations there, because I think that was an authorized agent of the owner. But yeah, I mean, regarding a lot of other things, I would agree for sure.
I guess I go back to an authorized agent to bring the horse in, but an authorized agent to approve sedation?
In my opinion, yeah. You brought it in, you're responsible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Unless you make prior
arrangements.
And again,
it's super common in equine medicine to sedate them.
And that's why the requirements are different for large animal and food animal than it is for small animal, too.
From horses that have boarded on our property, I wouldn't necessarily say, just because I'm the one that's there when the vet arrives doesn't mean I'm going to be the one that's going to be making the decisions.
No, but if you were hired by the person that owned the animal, then
you
I would say it's a different stuff. Yeah, I would say it's a different one there. But yeah, if you're randomly showing up. But yeah, I understand what you're saying, but it's because
it's kind
of the way
the responsibility of that person to say, oh, sedation, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So yeah, so I think that's too grave an area for us to blame the veterinarian for anything. But like I said, are there other issues here and other questions?
So that, I mean, then what was captured by the investigative committee would be accurate as far as the medical records. The question is there enough questions on the gross incompetence as far as failing to perform a thorough exam? And I go back to, I think the exam was performed, I'm just not sure it was accurate. I mean, I don't want to say accurate, but I'm not sure that was the issue. But I think a thorough exam in this doctor's mind was performed.
Yeah. Yeah, an exam can vary from animal to animal, to be honest. I mean, it is what it is. That's, would any questions clarify anything for you? I guess a good question there.
Yeah, and I mean.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think they were under the impression that they performed the exam. I mean, and what are the minimums for an exam? I mean, it's
and it met the criteria of what should be included in the exam. That's why I'm going. I'm not sure I would have said it was a thorough exam. I'm just not sure. I think what the investigative committee was probably trying to get at was, did it detect everything that it should have?
And no examination would ever guarantee that.
Right.
So should it have been broader scope? More aspects of the horse, as opposed to was it a more myopic exam,
which is totally acceptable in my opinion also, as long as again we're aware of it. I mean, I go into I have Indian healthcare and I go into urgent care there. I'm only allowed to have one issue. Doesn't matter how many issues I have. I go back into the waiting room and I wait another 6 hours to talk about another issue. So I mean, you can limit exams to this one thing as long as everybody's aware of that, I think. So
they don't do exams anyway.
True. But yeah, so it's, it gets hard there, because it's you do an exam on an animal that's brought in, and you're supposed to find things, but because you don't find something, is that an actual issue? That's a hard area, because it's hard for us to pick up everything on the exam.
But we do find that sometimes, mm-hmm. like where things were missed on an exam that should have been found, and we find people in violation, so.
No, it's very true. Yeah. It depends, I think it's an individual case-by-case basis, too.
Yeah, I do, too. So does anyone else have any questions that they think would be answered in an informal?
Well, medical record stuff's pretty straightforward.
The medical records is straightforward.
Yeah.
And I don't see 32, 22, 32, 11, just because I think an exam was performed. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
I'll make a motion in the case of 2264 that we have a violation of 32, 22, 32, 21 as it relates to R3, 11, 502, L7 for failure to document the medical record that sedation was administered to the horse. And I will take the findings of fact as written in the investigative committee report, but I am altering the conclusions of law to eliminate 32, 22, 32, 11 gross incompetence.
Is this the appropriate time to ask for priors?
Not before the vote.
Not before the
Yeah, that's for the punitive portion. Yeah.
Okay. I second that.
All right, so we have a motion and a second to accept the findings of fact as our findings of fact and modify the conclusions of law to only include ARS 32, 22, 32, 21 as it relates to AAC R3, 11, 502, L7. Failure to provide, for failure to document an animal's medical record the sedation that was administered to the horse. So motion and a second. Any other discussion? All right, and we can do a voice on that then. Yeah. So all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right, motion carries. We'll find a violation of ARS 32, 22, 32, 21 as it relates to AAC R3, 11, 502, L7. And that will conclude that one, and we'll move on to 2263.
Was that a consent
agreement? Oh, sorry, no, we have to do the other portion.
Yeah. And that was a consent agreement.
That was a consent agreement, yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, consent agreement.
And now is the appropriate time to ask for priors.
There are none.
There are none. Thank you.
Good answer.
Thank
you. So I would, with having no priors, I would make a motion that we do 3 hours of continuing education in the areas of medical records. And no civil penalty.
Would that be a probation of 1 year?
Probation of 1 year.
Not signed.
Not signed in 30 days.
Then move to an informal.
Second.
All right, so we have a motion and a second for that. Any other discussion? And that should be a roll call then, right?
Yes.
Since it's a, if we can do a roll call, please.
Ms. Krager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Dr. Nodley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Ray?
Aye.
Thank you. Nice meeting you all.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. All right, so now we will go back to 2263, and that is Dr. Jane also.
So, in the case of 2263, so this was Dr. Carner, the main veterinarian for the front, just the way I understand it, and had gone back and looked at what was done and made some corrections to the medical record. Mm-hmm. It wasn't ultimately clear to me as if they were corrections or amendments, like documenting that she was amending things that were done. I think ultimately she did this with the best of intention as far as to try and help fully document what was going on, but it then did relate to, there's definitely some unclarity around accuracy of potentially what was in there. And we make amendments to medical records, like that's not the issue, it's just the alterations of it, I guess, would be a little bit different.
How it was done.
How it was done. Any other comments before I make a motion, or any comments before I make a motion?
And my concern is that she did not, the committee noted she did not evaluate the horse, consult the primary veterinarian in charge before making the corrections. So my question would be, on what basis were the corrections made?
Yeah, and it's hard because kind of the statutes basically say that you have to have enough knowledge to make a educated decision basically on what it is. And can that vet say that they have enough knowledge just by reading what was in there alone without talking to the other vet? No, but.
Well, and some of the stuff was like on the sedation, like that had been administered. Did she go back and look at the anesthesia log and then add that? Mm-hmm. Or the drugs that were given? Like, I guess we could ask more questions on that, but does that ultimately change?
Yeah.
Did the request or the reason for changing the record, did that request came from the owner of the home to change the record? Is that correct?
Well, I think it was to clarify for accuracy, was what I was understanding.
Yeah, because there were things that were done that weren't in the medical record, so she went back and said, can you make sure these are in the medical record? That's the way I took it.
That's what
I mean, it's probably good to talk to more people before you change someone else's medical records, but it's also like a violation, or is that a concerning thing? Because doctors do get involved in other cases all the time.
Well, and they specifically reference that Dr. Wood is supposed to be mentored by, you know, this doctor, and so it would be interesting to know what their process is, like what both doctors' understanding of that process is, but would it change this particular situation?
And then there was the other piece of this was not saving the ultrasound images, but that's not required, so I don't know how we would find a violation there.
But is the diagnosis required based on the images to be in the record?
Not necessarily, but the interpretation.
The findings.
Okay,
yeah.
I use the improper.
Yeah, because you may not get a diagnosis from it, but you should have some kind of
interpretation. Yes. Okay. So would that be another thing that was missing?
I mean, I guess I'm just not sure I have a big issue with the fact that she went in and added things that were discussed.
To me, it's like, I mean, I think it maybe could be done better, which would be more of a letter of concern at the most, but is there an actual violation? I have a hard time wrapping my head around a violation.
So I guess in the case of 2263, I would make a motion that we find no violations of our practice act or rules, but issue a letter of concern with regards to altering medical records and ensuring that it's clear that this is an amendment and why you are making these amending changes. Second.
So I don't know that we need to necessarily find a violation when we issue the letter of concern. No. You know, are we thinking two different things, or just disposing of it with a letter of concern with respect to what you just said, Dr. James?
Yeah, the concern would be around just ensuring that when you're amending a medical record that you're clear that, one, it's an amendment and why you're doing that, so that it's documented. But I don't find that violation that was in there from the investigation.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think there was malintent for altering anything. I think it was just, it could have been done better.
So I interrupted, we had a motion for a letter of concern.
Yeah, so you have a motion, a letter of concern. We had a second, is that still a second?
Okay.
And a second, so any other discussion on that? All right, we can do a voice vote on that. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries to offer a letter of concern in 2263. All right, so now, we have a 10:30. So are we allowed to do a bathroom break before we start the 10:30?
I'm sorry?
Are we allowed to do a restroom break before we do a 10:30?
Yes, you are.
We will do that.
It is consistent.
I hope so.